Now on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, this is Sports and Faith.
Welcome to this episode of Sports and Faith on WSFI 88.5 Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Mark Curran, Lake County, Illinois Sheriff. And today my guest is Bill Wennington. Bill Wennington, I'm sure those of you that follow Chicago sports are familiar with the name. He is in his 13th season as a color commentator for the Chicago Bulls radio. Bill was a big star with the Bulls, as we remember through the championship years. Played a 13-year NBA career, six of those seasons with the Bulls, which included three NBA championships. And he's also a native of Montreal, inducted into the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame, the Quebec Basketball Hall of Fame. He was a member of the 1984 and 1992 Olympic basketball teams and played his college ball at St. John's in New York. And Bill is married to his wife, Ann, who we're going to hear about, and their son, Robbie. Bill, welcome.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
Bill, I want to start with your having grown up in Canada, if you wouldn't mind. Tell us a little bit about what it was like in terms of faith in your house and what have you.
Faith in my house when I was growing up wasn't strong. It was there. We obviously, I was brought up Protestant. I remember going to Sunday school a few times, but it wasn't something we did every week. We celebrated Christmas and Easter, so I guess we were Christers, as they say,
right.
Growing up. But the bond of family was strong, especially in my younger years. And I remember going to the grandparents' house and seeing the cousins and the families and celebrating the holidays together. That was a big thing for us.
So, Bill, then you went to a Lutheran high school in Canada, and yet you had a Catholic basketball coach at that Lutheran high school, you were telling us, and he was instrumental in your life.
Very. I mean, Bob McKillop, who is now the head coach at Davidson College, was very instrumental in my whole life, basketball life and personal life, and he was really my first big exposure to Catholicism and church and having faith and praying and putting yourself in the right path for success and doing the right things and believing in God and yourself and praying and praying for what you want in life and for the good things in life. And that was really my first exposure to someone who really did believe and practice their faith.
And then so you went to St. John's, a Catholic university in New York with a rich history and a proud basketball tradition as well. How'd you wind up there?
I had just moved to Long Island, New York to be with my mother. My parents were divorced, actually, when I was 11 years old and came down to New York and became, under Bob's tutelage, became a high school McDonald's All-American. I was heavily recruited, but family meant a lot to me, and I decided I just needed to stay closer to my mother and wanted to be close, so I went to St. John's, which was basically a 45-minute drive from my house in Long Island, so I could go back and visit. And also, financially, she would be able to come and watch every single game, because I know financially we were not able to afford flights to Duke or Virginia, which were my two backup schools.
Gotcha. And then, so, at St. John's, you're at a Catholic university, and I assume probably 95% of the student body is Catholic at St. John's.
That's probably a fair assessment, yes.
But you're not Catholic.
I was not at the time.
And the basketball team, and I remember that team very well. One of my brothers was a freshman at Villanova in 1985, so I remember the Big East back then and just the glory of it. But some of those guys, Willie Glass, I mean, he was not Catholic, I don't think, right?
Willie, I don't believe was Catholic, and I don't believe he's Catholic today.
Right. I mean, you had some African-American players, and the Catholic Church has not done a great job of evangelizing African-Americans. But Chris Mullin was there, and he was a Catholic kid.
Very Catholic. As a matter of fact, his aunts were nuns, and they'd come to the games a lot and be around, and we'd always see the sisters and be happy to see them, and they were great, and they're always praying for us and our success. And obviously St. John's Catholic School, Vincentian School, and Coach Conosecker, very Catholic himself. So there was a Catholicism around us all the time in college.
And it didn't freak you out or anything?
No, I'd been exposed to it a little bit more, and being an athlete, you have to pray to higher powers at times. You want strength and guidance, and you want to come out of games healthy. And so these are all basic things that we pray for before games, and obviously, hopefully, a victory.
Carnesecca, was he a guy that when you look at him, that faith played a role in his life, and you...
I laugh because it's funny because some of the things that he would say and do, you would sometimes wonder how does someone that you see in church, going to church every Sunday and going to Mass in the morning, and he gets excited and says things. But that's part of the sports world, and that's what happens. And that passion comes out,
right?
And that's what it is.
They used to say, some Protestants would say about Vince Lombardi, that he wasn't a real Christian because he swore so much, even though he went to Mass every day. So Catholics versus the faith, sometimes we have misunderstandings. So you met your wife at St. John's.
Yes.
She was a good Catholic girl.
Very. And her faith has grown stronger even as we speak. It grows every day. And that's the way it should. I believe as you get older, you understand more and you want more and you feel more. So, but she is... been really the strong point and the foundation of my growing as a Catholic. And we met near the end of my freshman year, started dating, and throughout college really grew together and really had a great understanding of each other and a love for each other. So when I was drafted or knew I was going to be drafted, I knew I didn't want to venture on the rest of my life without her in it. And
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's, and I'm looking at a picture of her. She's very pretty. My guess is
kind
of...
Are you saying I'm an overachiever?
No. You deserve a good woman.
I am.
Yeah.
I'd be the first to admit, yeah. I am.
She's kind of the quintessential New York Paisan, St. John's.
She's not, her Italian is not, I mean, her whole family's Italian and strong Italian and very good, but she's not... the typical, what was that show that was on? The Jersey Shore.
Yeah,
she's not that, no.
A little more elegant and classy.
Much more, yeah. Her upbringing was very conservative. Her father was a very great man. Dr. Isidore Caputo was obviously a doctor, but his faith was very strong and brought up all five of his daughters very well.
So y'all got married really young for that era, approximately the same age. And... not many people got married right out of college at that point in time, but you got married even before.
We got married right when I just got out. We discussed it my junior year because I knew what I wanted, but out of respect for everything, we decided, and especially her family, it was better that if I was a college graduate before we tied the knot. And Anne is actually a little bit older than I am, so she was already out of college, but I knew I was going to be going away and that I would need some support, and she was the perfect person and obviously the love of my life. So I decided that it was better for us to get married at that point than to have a long-distance relationship, or because there's obviously we would not be able to go to Dallas together.
So the Catholic Church, when you do your wedding pre-Cana experience, they make you say that you'll do everything in your power to raise your kids Catholic, but there's no necessity that the other spouse becomes Catholic, but you chose to be Catholic.
Yes, I had been around Catholicism, strong Catholicism, since high school with Bob McKelvigan, and I understood it. I believe in the church's teachings, and I believe in Jesus, and I thought, you know what, this is the way to go. And I've used it. I've used prayer. I've used... the guidelines, and they were strong in my values. So I said, why not? That's what I should be.
Right. And so was it a beautiful wedding and everything?
It was outstanding. And I am so grateful that Anne is Italian and her parents and have the same beliefs. And they really put on an outstanding wedding for us both. And
what was the church? Fun.
It was, oh my goodness.
What area?
It was in New York. It was her church, and my goodness.
That's okay. You've seen a lot of churches since. You're a world traveler.
I'll get it in a minute. She's going to kick me really hard right now.
So she was probably baptized in that church, right? And it was her grade school and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
oh no, brain lock. Oh no.
After becoming Catholic and then in marrying Anne, you went into the NBA. As you said, unless you're Michael Jordan or Steph Curry, you're going to bounce around. I mean, that's the nature of that business, and you didn't want to be alone.
Absolutely. And Whether I bounced around or not, I knew that I was going to get drafted by a team out. Well, it could have been New York, but I doubted it. But at that time there were 26 teams in the NBA, and you don't know where you're going to go. It's going to be away. And I got drafted by the Dallas Mavericks and went down there. And I knew that Ann was the right one for me. So why not speed things up a little bit and get things going? And she could be my support, and I could be her support. And it was difficult. I mean, when you really think about professional sports and or life, I had to go away from my business to a place I'd never been before. We knew nobody, didn't know the lifestyle or anything, and we went down there together, and we did very well together.
Dallas is a Catholic city, so you found
Christian
a church.
City. There was a Catholic. We found a church right away. A lot of born again Christians are down there, and then primarily the people involved with the Mavericks at that time were born again Christians, and the Christian religion is great because a lot of the beliefs are very, very similar, and we fit in well down there with everyone. So it was a great experience for both of us.
So then after that, your next stop on your journey is where?
I got traded to the Sacramento Kings in 1990-91. And that summer, so again, I had to pack up and leave. So Ann and I packed up our belongings, put our house on the market, and moved out to Sacramento.
And Sacramento, the capital of California, but from my perspective, not necessarily yours, a liberal city, and I think people need their faith out there as well. You keep moving along the journey, and it's where do we go?
After I finished in Sacramento, which was probably the worst year of my career, playing-wise, it's a very difficult time. We only won one road game. I was a free agent. Sacramento didn't have the money to, or didn't want to offer me a contract, so I ended up going to Italy for 2 years. A fantastic experience.
Yeah, so from a Catholic perspective, Italy is it. Could you just share us a little bit what something that was magical about being over in that country?
For both of us, and being Italian, it was a great way for her to visit and really see her culture from the standpoint of being there and watching it. The history and the architecture of the churches and the buildings in Bologna, where we lived, and then all around every city we went to.
Yeah.
It was really amazing how they built these things. And we're not talking hundreds of years. We're talking thousands of years ago.
Right. And you have all the remnants of Christ's life, and then they're all in Italy, and you realize, well, there's really only one church when we get outside of this country.
Yeah. And that is it, predominantly so, Catholic in Italy.
Bill will be coming back after this break, but when we come back, I'm going to ask you if you have any of those sweaters that Louis Carnesecca wore.
Hello, I'm Bill Winnington from the Church of St. Mary's and the Chicago Bulls. I believe Catholic radio is important for all of us out there listening to help us through days when maybe our faith is being challenged by many different obstacles that are put in our way. And it's a chance to reflect and just think and hear stories from other people that maybe are going through the exact same issues that we are going through and how they have struggled and how they are getting through their problems today.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at wsfiradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated. Don't miss the 2016 Sports Faith Hall of Fame induction ceremonies on Saturday, May 14th of Pentecost weekend, beginning with Holy Mass at the Church of St. Mary's in Lake Forest, Illinois at 5 o'clock p.m., followed by dinner and the Hall of Fame induction at the Deer Path Inn. This year's list of honorees includes Chip Beck, Ziggy Zarabsky, Lauren Hill, Nick Rassus, Bill Winnington, and many more virtuous athletes, coaches, and teams. For more information or to purchase tickets, call 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455. Or visit us online at WSFIradio.org.
Welcome back, WSFI listeners, 88.5 FM. Once again, Bill Wennington, basketball star and color commentator for the Chicago Bulls radio. Bill, I was asking about Louis Carnesecca's sweaters. It just was always something that all the commentators that covered St. John's back in that era would talk about. Was it? Where did this? Did he have a whole closet full of?
Well, he'd gotten that the sweater.
Right.
As a gift when he was a cold, and he wore it, and it was, you know, he wasn't feeling well, and his wife Mary said, "You need to wear a sweater." And he put it on, and we won a game, and very superstitious is one Lou Carnesecca, and we won, and we kept winning with that sweater on, so it became its own being, so to speak, and it was interesting because it really did take a lot of the pressure off of us, because more was being said about the sweater than us actually playing the game. And as an athlete, that's a nice distraction.
Yeah.
Not a bad distraction.
Absolutely.
A good one.
So 1985, one of my brothers was a freshman at Villanova. He was not a basketball player. But from a Catholic perspective, that was really a cool year, because the Final Four was Georgetown, St. John's, Villanova, and then Memphis.
And Memphis beat Boston College in the quarterfinals by a 2 points at the buzzer, and then blew someone out to get to the final four. So it could have been all Big East, all Catholic schools. It was a great time in basketball back then. It was a lot of fun.
Did they talk about that, the Catholic Final Four and what have you?
A little bit, and then Coach Carnesecca talked about it, made references to it at different times, and still till to this day recollects that. But it wasn't a major part of what we were trying to accomplish at that time. But it was a nice asset.
So God has blessed you in many ways, Bill, but I watched a lot of basketball, and I watched you throughout your career. And one of the things that I always noticed about you was what a beautiful jump shot you had. Your body was always square to the basket. Your release was perfect, and you knocked it in. You were a really good shooter. And you could dribble, and you're very coordinated for a big guy, a 7-footer. Was it always that way? Did you just roll out of bed one day, and God gave you all those gifts?
I believe all those gifts were there. And God did bless me with many talents and gifts, but it was something that you have to practice. Everyone has the same gifts, and you have to find out which gifts you can excel at, and you have to work at them. And I was a little bit uncoordinated. I was growing. As I was 12 years old, I was 6'2", but I had the mentality of my friends who were funny, were all small, very athletic guys, were doing all these little obstacle courses. I wouldn't say I can't do it. I would do it. I'd be last, but I would do it and force. And I got better and better at it as time went on. So I think that approach really helped me in my life.
Sports Illustrated did a story on Chris Mullin, your teammate, years ago when he was still in college, and it showed a closet with about 50 pairs of gym shoes. Were you similar in the sense that you just lived in the basketball arena?
As a youth, yes. That became my passion and my outlet, especially when I moved to New York, where it really became my outlet for everything, for frustration. It was a great way to let out some anger and frustration on the basketball court, running up and down. And anyone that has been done any kind of physical activity, if you work out, athleticism or athletes have a great natural stress release. And the fact you're upset about something, you can go out and physically run your body down and really run a lot of that stress out so you can think about it clearly. And that's what athletics was for me.
So, Bill, your wife, Ann, she went all these places with you and what have you, and there's a big network when you're in the NBA, but to be the spouse of an NBA player, that's got to have some challenges.
Well, Mark, I honestly believe my NBA career was harder on her than it was on me, because she was the one in the second seat. I'm in the driver's seat, so to speak, and she's sitting next to me and supporting me, and trust me, there were a lot of nights where I was not happy with the way I played, not happy with how much I played or the way things went and losses. I was away in different cities up in Utah or whatever, not happy. And talking to her many nights on the phone for hours upon hours and just supporting each other. And I was doing the same for her, because having to move to different cities, a different country, and dealing with different people. And everyone has their own agenda and is doing their own thing. So there was a lot of support for both of us given by each of us, but our faith really helped us through it a lot. And Anne is really the stone, the backbone of our relationship, because she's helped me in so many ways.
When you look at a lot of these NBA players, and some of them come from unfortunate circumstances in the sense that maybe not a father in the house growing up, but you see the destruction in terms of lives, not just NBA, NFL, you can go through any sport, and whether it's wind up pulled over with a car with cocaine, or whether or not strip club when the police come in, or whether it's an ex-wife that's burning down their house, what have you. You didn't have any of those. You kept it simple. You married a beautiful woman that loved the Lord, and your life has not been without struggle, but you haven't had to deal with any of that. So what advice would you give to the people if it's something that could be given?
Every day you wake up, you have an opportunity to be the best that you can be, not the best that anyone else can be. And obviously, faith has been a big part of my life, and that's given me a standard to live up to. And I believe in God and the Ten Commandments, and I believe in the opportunity I have every single day to be the best that I can be. And I can't live up to be, I can't be Michael Jordan, I can't be Steve Kerr coaching, I can't be the best announcer, I can be the best that I can be. And every day I have that opportunity, and I believe in doing that every single day, and that's the way I try to live my life. And Mark, and I'm going to be honest, everybody, and I speak to a lot of high school kids and young people that don't have the best of lives, but we all have the same opportunities, the same opportunity to be the best that we can be every day. And it doesn't cost money. It doesn't matter what color you are, what religion you are. You have the opportunity every day to be the best you can be and make the proper decisions every day.
And God's created us all in a unique way.
Yeah, because we're all different. And yes, everyone has a different set of standards and things that have changed their lives or made them who they are. But it's those decisions that we've made in our life that change us and make us who we are. And every day, if you can just make the best decisions for you, and take advantage of the opportunity that you're given when you put your feet on the floor every morning.
So, Bill, you won 3 NBA championships, and you'll look at these great players that are going to retire and will never have experienced that. What is it like to win an NBA championship and then a second or a third?
It's the best thing that can happen. In anything you can do, if you can achieve being the best and achieving your goals that you set out to start, it's so gratifying and accomplishing that you've accomplished what you set out to do, and that's the pinnacle of it. And to win an NBA championship, which is so hard to do, really, it's indescribable to me how special that is.
Is there any hollow to it? Sometimes you hear that people, is that all there is? And I guess maybe because you have faith in that, and you have a wife that loves you and a son. That you have, you weren't looking for it to fill up everything, but
No, you're absolutely right. It doesn't fill up everything. It's just a small part of it, but it's something Bob McKillop taught me, and you have to be a whole person. And he started off, it's a long story, I know we don't have a lot of time, but you got to be a whole basketball player, so you have to be able to incorporate the whole game into your game. So you got to dribble, shoot, pass, defend, everything. But basketball is such a small part of my life. If I play basketball 2 hours a day, I play a lot. And there's still 22 hours left of the day. So really, I have to be a whole person. And that means I have to be respectful to myself, to people, to my God, and to everyone in order to be this whole basketball player. I got to be a whole person. And when you're a whole person, you can't be good at one thing and not the rest of the thing, because we as human beings are creatures of habit. If I take shortcuts off the basketball court, I will take shortcuts on the basketball court, because that's who I am and we are what we do. So in order to be the best basketball player I could be, I have to be the best person I could be. And that incorporates my whole life, not just part of it.
So, Bill, you have been on the radio for 13 years. You were on TV, and you do all the Bulls games. And I think you do a terrific job, and you and Chuck Swirsky are real easy to listen to. Is it the same what you were saying before, as being yourself as opposed to trying to mimic somebody that came before you?
Absolutely. When I first took the job, people said, oh, are you going to be like John Paxton? And I can't be like John Paxton. John Paxton is John Paxton, and John does a great job. He's a great analyst. I'm not John. I'm more, and I'm not that I'm not a great analyst. I am, but I am more feeling. I'm a little bit more funny. I have more, want to joke about things. I want to make it fun, and that's who I am, and that's what I had good advice. I obviously took a couple courses, and they said, just be yourself and let your personality come out, and that's what makes a good broadcast. If you can go out and be yourself and still communicate what's going on the floor, you're going to do fine, and so far it's worked out. At least I'm fooling him so far.
You told us earlier that you were a communications major at St. John's, but you would envision yourself behind the scenes, and you're not the behind-the-scenes guy. You are the voice of the Bulls radio. Sometimes God has plans for us that are different than the plans that we might have had.
But in that plan that God does have for me, I was prepared for it. And I studied broadcast journalism in college, television radio production. I got my degree, so I understand how everything works. But I was like our engineer Bill back there. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the guy controlling it, making you and I sound good and hitting the buttons and understanding everything. But fortunately or unfortunately, for if you're listening, depending on if you like what I'm saying or not, someone liked how I sounded and the way I spoke, and I ended up here behind a microphone, which has worked out well for me.
You do a terrific job. So as you move forward in terms of tenure, do you have advice that you might offer our listeners at WSFI Radio in terms of the faith and incorporating it in their existence?
When I pray at night and for people, I pray that everyone finds peace, happiness, and love in their life. And I think if you have that, you're gonna, and obviously health, but if you have that in your life and you can honestly pray for other people to have that, you're going to be pretty well-rounded and things will work out for you.
We like the fact also that you've sent your son Robbie to St. Mary's in Lake Forest, Loyola Academy, my alma mater, and then he went to Boston College where he played football briefly. The Catholic education really does offer a lot in terms of life.
It absolutely does, and he's a very well-rounded person, and we really appreciate what his Catholic education has given him, and actually so is he.
The Bulls didn't make the playoffs this year, but we're coming strong. We're in a rebuilding.
God willing, there's always next year.
Amen. So thank you, Bill. You're a wonderful testament to our faith out there, and we appreciate what you do. And as we said, talking earlier, Jerry Reinsdorf, a great owner, and the Bulls are an easy franchise to root for. We want to congratulate Bill Wennington, who is a 2016 inductee into the Sports Faith Hall of Fame. That's going to be on May 14th, 2016. There'll be a mass at Church of St. Mary's in Lake Forest, followed by a reception at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Deer Path Inn. Anybody that's interested in tickets, 847-739-5361. 847-739-5361. Bill, you're in a number of Hall of Fames, but congratulations on this one.
Mark, thank you very much. It means a lot to me. My faith is very strong. My family means a lot. So this is a nice honor for that.
We're glad to have you. This concludes our interview with Bill Wennington, the longtime Bulls announcer and former NBA star on WSFI Radio 88.5 for Sports and Faith. And I am Mark Curran, your Lake County Sheriff, that was privileged enough to be able to do this interview today. So take care, everybody, and keep listening. WSFI 88.5.
For more information about Sports and Faith, visit WSFIradio.org.
Hello, I'm Joe Scheidler, host of Pro Life Today on WSFI Catholic Radio 88.5 FM. It's a half-hour conversation with leaders in the pro-life movement committed to protecting the most vulnerable among us. That's every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Or listen anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIradio.org for more information. That's Pro Life Today, every Monday at 3:30 p.m. only on WSFI Catholic Radio.
Did you know you can listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio online? Visit WSFIradio.org and click on Listen Live. That's WSFIradio.org and Listen Live.
WSFI is on social media. Follow us on Twitter at WSFIFM and like us on Facebook by searching for WSFI Catholic Radio.